Welcome to the Women in Power podcast, where women entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles, and accomplishments. We are here to listen to women in all walks of life, from starting a business to running million-dollar companies, from personal to business, and everything in between. Let's get started. Here's your host, Bree Logue.
Hey everyone, I am Bree Logue, and this is the Women in Power podcast. Today we have Tara Bell. She is a mom and wife of a beautifully blended family, transitioning from self-employed stylist to owning a company with her husband and business partners, going all in and following her dreams, even under insecurities, including running Spartan races, print modeling, and now podcasting. That's awesome. Yay. I'm super excited to chat today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Bree. Excited to be here.
Yes, me too. I'm super excited. So tell us a little bit more about you and what you're currently working on.
So I am a 43-year-old business owner. I was a stylist for 24 years, a sole proprietor, which means I was a one-man show. I have done everything from hair and makeup at weddings, running a full-time clientele myself, and also doing hair and makeup for modeling shoots. One day I decided, you know, I always wanted to do modeling, but back in the day when I was young, I did beauty pageants and won some, lost some, but print modeling was always something that interested me, but someone told me that I was too short to be a model. So I took that personally, added it to my list of insecurities in my backpack and towed it around with me for 20 plus years. Finally, just recently, I worked on a model at a photo shoot, and she told me that I would be amazing at print modeling and to unpack that suitcase. So with that being said, I put forth a little effort towards the portfolio, and I've already gotten 3 gigs. So it took off pretty fast. So that was pretty amazing. I'm doing commercial work, print work, things like that. And then my husband and I decided to sell our home, cash out on all of the equity during the height of the housing market. And so we moved into a little rental property and threw all of our money into getting a business going together. So we will be opening Hate to Lose Warehouse and Athletics in March. It is a 28,000 square foot building with 14 batting cages. We will have a strength and conditioning section, which my husband is getting his certificate to be the strength and conditioning coach. And then we just hired on another guy. We took him on as a business partner, but he's going to do, he's doing speed and conditioning. And so he works with track stars, football stars, things like that. So we're going to do a well-rounded sports and athletics training facility. So it's going to be super fun and exciting. I'm going to be hosting the event. So we'll have Astros games, crawfish boils, fun stuff like that. I'm not in the athletic part of all of that, so I'll be doing the event. So it'll be a lot of fun. And then we will, together, one of the other business partners and I will also be running the bar. So we're going to have a bar in HTL as well. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm excited about it.
That sounds so cool. And where are you guys located in Houston then? You said Astros.
So we are on, yeah, you got that. So we are on the outskirts of a little town called Katy, Texas. It's on the west side of Houston. We are actually on the outskirts of Katy going into Berkshire. And so we'll have some of the more rural towns on the outside and also Houston on the other side of us. So we're very centrally located. It'll be a lot of fun stuff. So there's lots of baseball happening in Texas. So
definitely. Yeah. I love that. It's so cool. So let's backtrack a little bit. I'm really excited to talk about your new business that you're opening, but let's back a little bit further and let's talk about how you first became an entrepreneur. How was that journey into being a stylist?
So I worked in salons at the beginning and I had to split all of my profits, but I realized that I was doing all of the work. And it eventually does wear on your body, and it is a pretty exhausting day to stand on your feet all day long. And so when my husband and I got married, I had the epiphany that I needed to lease a salon, and that way I didn't have to split my profits. Now, with leasing, it comes its own challenges. You have to have insurance. You have to provide all of your own products. So I don't know if it was any more beneficial financially or not, or just a little more of a headache. But honestly, I like being my own boss. I like calling my own shots. My personality type, I do have a very strong work ethic. And so I don't like somebody breathing on my neck, pushing me to do, because I can handle it on my own. So that's where it really kind of started for me. But I also didn't want to necessarily manage other hairstylists. When you've got a creative type, we've all got our own ways. And so that was when I decided I was better off on my own, just strictly myself. That way I relied on myself, but I also, you know, pushed myself quite a bit. So it's been an adventure. But being 43 years old, it gets tiring too. So I'm ready to transition into something else, but I still love to do hair. Being my own boss, I get to do it at my own leisure. So, yeah.
I love that. So did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Did you always know you needed to work for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, even in high school, I was always trying to figure out ways to be able to make money on my own, whether it was selling things. I would buy things, and I know this is so crazy, but I would buy things from stores and then turn around and sell them to my friends. And so Poshmark, that was absolutely, I should have done that years ago, because that was definitely an original idea for me. And, you know, online, I should have definitely have done that, but it's okay.
I love that. It's awesome. Yeah. So let's switch gears and talk about, I love that you just said that you sold your house to go all in on your dreams. And that is such a terrifying thing to do. Can you tell us a little bit what kind of pushed you guys to do that?
So my husband is in oil and gas. And with COVID and oil and gas being in turmoil, he's also a heart patient. He's had 3 heart attacks previously before we got married. And so just having that up and down in the market, it really kind of like scared him a little bit. And he was like, you know, we both work really hard. And he goes, why would we not work really hard for ourselves? And the idea with the sports training facility, but we have 2 sons that play baseball. One is my son, who's 20 now, and then his son, who is 10. And so we've been integrated in the sports family all along, and we've both been to batting cages, we've both been to batting fields, we've both been just in that world. And one of the things that I had kind of mentioned to him in going to several of those batting cages, there was never a place for the parents to sit. There was never a place for the parents to be there. And so I always felt like I had to sit in my car and I had to wait, or I had to drop him off and come back and pick him up a little bit later. And back in when I was in high school, I played softball myself. And I remember telling him one time how cool it would be if like the parents got to be there and play with them. Like, I would love to go in there and hit a couple balls. My son's like, oh my God, mom, nobody else is there to do that. No way. And I just remember telling my husband, like, how cool would it be if they made it more of a family situation instead of just dropping your kid off? And so we were talking one day with another set of friends of ours, and they're in the softball world. They've got a daughter that plays softball. And he also runs a softball team now, and he runs a company called Project 17. And so they do hitting lessons for kids. And so we were just all joking around at the pool talking about it. And I just told him, I was like, how cool would it be to have like a bar to where you could sit at the bar and have a glass of wine or have a beer and watch your kid, have secure Wi-Fi, do a little work if you wanted to, but to actually be there. And so that's where the craziest ideas come from, is just when you're talking about things and just throwing things out there. But then it was like, you know what, this could actually be a thing. And so at first it was a pipe dream. We all just kind of were tossing around some ideas. Then it really started coming to fruition, and we all were like, you know, this could actually work. And so my husband and I were both like, well, where would we get the money to be able to start something like this? And one day he was at work and I called him and I said, let's sell our house. And he literally was like, what? And I just told him, I was like, no, let's go all in on this. Like, we've talked about, you know, working for ourselves. We've talked, you know, we just came up with this great idea. That's where this stuff starts. This is how it happens. And so he came home and he said, you know, let me think about it. I'm not going to say yes, but I'm not going to say no. And so he came home that day and he was like, so what would this look like? And I just told him, I was like, we'll sell our house, cash out on our equity. We're at the height of the, you know, the market right now. We could get the most for our house that we have been able to in the past. And move into a rental property that's cheap. But that way we don't have as much of our personal, you know, overhead. And let's go all in. And he was like, okay. And so we listed our house. It sold in 24 hours. We found a rental property that, I mean, it's crazy because it, two of the rooms in our rental house, they can't count against us as far as rent because, they didn't get the appropriate, you know, city things that they should have done, to add square footage to the house. And so we got this cheap rental property. It's got a pool in the backyard, got plenty of room for our kids. And half of what our mortgage was. And so, and it was available. He was excited to have us. We moved in, and it's been absolutely fabulous. And so it's taken us almost 2 years from the time that we sold our house to here. We finally have a building under construction. It's all to our own specs. It's going to be beautiful. We're super excited. We just nailed a $1.5 million capital investor. So that helped all of our visions. You know, we had a list of wants and we had a list of needs. And our needs obviously came first and our wants kind of look like they would take the back burner. Now that we have that investor, we'll actually be able to come to the table a little more than what we were wanting. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, that is so cool. So that actually leads me to a great question. How did you guys go when you guys set your partnerships up? That's something that I feel like so many people struggle with as new entrepreneurs. You know, they want to have partners with them, but they don't really know what a good partner looks like. So what did you guys look for when you're looking for investors and partners?
So value was a big, big thing. They have to be able to bring value to the equation. I am an excellent party thrower. So to host events, that is definitely right up my alley. My husband is a great cheerleader. So he's the one that lights fires behind us, cheers us on, brings lots of positivity and good fun to it. So he brings a lot of value just in keeping us upbeat, keeping our mentality correct, keeping our energy flowing in the right direction. Bryce, being in the softball world, he brings a lot of the connections. His wife, Jeanette, she's a wine drinker, so she's helping us set up the bar. She stays very organized. We've been great friends with them for a long time. And she's in corporate, so she's in oil and gas as well. And so she's going to help host the corporate event. So we will also, you know, obviously have some team building, things like that for corporations. And so she brings value. And then we also have a partner. He owns AMAC, which is the speed and conditioning. So he's already in the black in his business. So he's doing very well. So we will eventually absorb AMAC and it'll all become one entity. So right at first, we worked out a really good deal, contract wise, that benefits all of us. And so over the last 2 years, if we would have jumped on this and if we would have made decisions right away instead of kind of letting things organically grow together, we wouldn't have had such amazing things come together. If we would have made some of the decisions right off the bat instead of just letting it all kind of organically happen, we wouldn't have AMAX a part of it. We wouldn't have Project 17 a part of it. AMAX also has something called AMAX Cares, where they take donations and they go and purchase athletic shoes for kids that can't afford athletic shoes. So integrating some giving. So we have a really, really good group of people that all bring value to the equation. Contracts are a big deal. So just everybody agreeing with what their job is, and staying in your own lane. You can't let ego get the best of you, which I can't even lie to you and tell you that I do have a little bit of control, like what is happening, what's going on. You know, I wanted to know every detail of everything. And my husband finally told me, he was like, your event, stay in your lane. But he said it in such a kind way and such an appropriate way for me to realize that we wouldn't have chosen these partners if they didn't bring great value. And they each have their own lane. And as long as we stay in our own lane and we do what we're supposed to do and take care of our business, it will flow effortlessly. So, yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. I love that you know, you guys kind of let it, you have, it sounds like you really dedicated your roles, but you still left a pretty open-ended, which sounds really cool to me that, you know, you had the vision, but you let it kind of go with the flow as well. Cause I feel like that's another really hard thing to do as an entrepreneur. Cause you know, you want to be controlling every piece of your business, but at the same time, you have to be open because you never know. I feel like sometimes if I like plan too much, it won't go as I expect and I'll be disappointed. But if I'm like, oh, this is kind of what the outcome I'm looking for. But then it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, but this is going to be a better thing for me in the long run.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we've experienced over those last 2 years. I mean, every time that if we would have kept the door closed and not kept our minds open and our hearts open, you know, so many more blessings have come to the table now. Where before, if we would have held on to that control, we wouldn't have allowed those blessings to come in. And so it's just being open to good. But again, keeping that positive vibe, you know, there's so many things. It's like walking a tightrope when you're an entrepreneur, right? And you're so scared. Each step is kind of scary, but you know, there's a little bit of blind faith to it too. And so just having that faith that, you know, everything will work out towards the greater good and just trusting that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you work with your husband too, very closely, it sounds like. What's kind of been the biggest struggle and the biggest benefit, I'd say, to working with your spouse?
So there for a little while, the biggest struggle was talking a little bit too much about business. You know, when you have a blended family, there's kids, there's exes, there's business, there's, you know, there's all the stressors. And so we made a very intentional decision on dating each other again. And so we go out every Thursday night. It is our time. We don't talk anything about business. We don't talk anything about kids. We are able to actually put on our kid hat again and actually experience joy with each other. It is hard because sometimes, I mean, that I do want to talk to him about something in business, but it's like, save it for tomorrow. There is tomorrow. We can talk about that tomorrow. And so being intentional about remembering that we are a married couple, and without our union and without the connection that we have, none of the rest of it fits. None of the rest of it works. And so intentionally loving each other, intentionally dating each other, that's helped us to maintain the appropriate outlook on our family and on our business. So it's been important and it's been awesome. And oh my gosh, we have had some incredible experiences. Date night is my favorite night. I look forward to it. You know, I put forth the effort. I get dressed up. He gets dressed up. We have gone on crazy adventures. We've gone to restaurants we would have never have tried. We've gone to different parts of town that we would have never have been on. And it's been really cool. It's actually opened up both of our minds to what else is out there, because the first 7 years of our marriage, we went to the same restaurant, we did the same thing, or we didn't date each other. We jumped right into being a family. We immediately had kids. So it's not like when you have a blended family, you don't have that time to actually really date each other necessarily. That's very short lived before you start integrating kids and integrating all the other stuff. And so getting an opportunity now, our kids are a little older now, they're teenagers, so we can leave them once a week and go on date night. And it's been the best thing for both of us. And it helps keep things in perspective. So, yeah.
I love date nights too. It's definitely my favorite time of the week too. We actually rotate it too. So like 1 week I get to pick what we're doing and the next week he gets to pick. So it's, it's absolutely fun. You don't always have to be responsible every week for finding something new. It's definitely been a game changer for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you guys also have so much going on. How do you manage your time well?
So I was not very good at it. So I probably have a touch of ADHD. I'm undiagnosed. I refuse to put any label on anything. However, I do carry some of those symptoms for sure. So for me, structure is a really big deal. My husband is a very structured man. He has his workout time. He has when he eats. He has what he eats. He is just very, very structured. Me, on the other hand, I love to fly by the seat of my pants and not really have any idea of what I'm going to do tomorrow. That sounds amazing. However, it's not really functional. It doesn't work well with running a business or a family. So especially as a hairstylist, my time is so mapped out for me all day. My husband, one of the things that he has taught me and helped me with, he told me, it was like, if you don't plan your meal, you don't eat. Yeah. And he was right. There would be times during the day where I'd be like, I'm too busy. I couldn't eat. And he's like, Tara, feeding yourself, it not only helps your brain work, not only helps you be more productive. So he has really helped me with just really allotting myself time for specific things. First thing in the morning, I wake up, I do my prayer for the morning, my meditation, get my mind right, wrap myself around all the things that I have to be grateful for. That just helps really set me up for what I'm the day that I'm facing. I go and walk every morning. If I can't walk, it's raining or something like that, I'll get a workout in first thing in the morning. That also gets my body in the right place. My meals are all mapped out now. I do a meal prep company. And so, but I literally have on my calendar in my phone, 20 minutes to eat lunch, 30 minutes for this. So mapping out my time has been really crucial for me, that structure for sure. And so it's helped me a lot. I wish I would have implemented that a long time ago.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I like really write it down in a planner too. Like I'll have it in my phone, but I like physically need to write it out, you know, the night before. Yes. So that way it's just out of my mind, like this is what I'm doing tomorrow and I don't have to think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then making lists, you know, there is something about that checking off something off of your list that is an instant dopamine, you know. So, and sometimes I'll write things down that I already did just to be able to check it off.
Me too. That's such a lady thing to do, I feel like, too. We all love lists.
Yes, absolutely. I thrive off of that. Yes.
So I have one more question for you and then we will wrap it up. But I'd love to talk about your spark. Oh, I lost you.
Hey, I lost you for a minute. What happened? I just dropped it.
That's fine. No worries. I figured I was like, maybe your phone died.
No, I don't know what happened. It just went away.
No worries. Cool. So where was I? Oh, sorry. Cool. So let's go back. I have one last question and then we'll just wrap it up.
Okay.
So my last question for you was, where was I? There you go. We talked a little bit about insecurities in the very, very beginning of this conversation. We talked about Spartan races and print modeling, and now that you're doing podcasting, can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of overcame those insecurities or those fears?
So one by one, one of the things, I went to an entrepreneur kind of event, and one of the things that he said was that when you're facing really scary things in business, that it helps to face small insignificant fears one by one. And so, and then it builds momentum and then it helps you to be able to face the very next one. And so one of the things, my husband and I are both, the first one that we decided that we were going to face together, we are both deathly afraid of snakes. So we literally left that event and came home and bought a snake. We have Bubbles, the ball python that lives in an aquarium in my living room. And we, from time to time, get him out of his aquarium and hold him. And when I tell you deathly afraid, I would kill a worm just because it looked like it was related to a snake. So I was that afraid. And my husband, again, like, I mean, his blood pressure would shoot up. I mean, he would just totally freeze. And so after we faced that one, and it, you know, I would have never have imagined that one would live inside my house, much less that I would sit on the couch and let it slither through my fingers. So it was insane. I did a lot of research first, and ball pythons seem to be one that shows you their emotions more so than most other snakes. Like, it balls up when it's scared. When it comes out, it's a little more loose and a little more relaxed. I'll never forget the first time that he yawned, though. That totally freaked me out, because I mean, there were mouths open up really big. It was really scary. But afterwards, holding him, I had this divine moment where I literally was facing my fear looking at me in my face. And that was intense. That was really intense. And it was a very moving moment. And same for my husband. And so now I'm not saying I'm going to go out in the wild and come face to face with a poisonous snake and not be freaked out. But it just made me realize, you know, I can do scary things. This isn't life or death. Well, you know, he's not life or death. He's little and he's non-poisonous, but... and then the next one, my husband had completed a Spartan race while we were married in the first few years we were married. And I remember telling him, because he asked me, he was like, do you want to do the next one with me? And I just remember telling him, no way. That's not something that I would ever be able to do. Like, that's way too hard. And he's like, you could absolutely do it. It would just take training. And after a while of me just kind of going, no, I finally said, you know, I'm afraid I couldn't do it. It is a fear. It is a legitimate fear that I would fail. And so then it became a, well, wait a minute. I bought a snake. Like, if I can hold a snake, then I can do a Spartan race. And so I told him, I was like, okay, sign me up. I want to do one. And he was like, oh, for real? Are you serious? Are you serious? And I was like, yes. Well, so come to find out, it ended up some good friends of ours, they texted us, because my husband and I have been sober for 2 years now. We have not had any alcohol whatsoever. And that has been really, really big deal for the two of us as well. And so some of our friends that we used to party with and go out to bars and things with, it gets awkward because they don't know what to do with us now. And so they had texted us and said, there's this Spartan race coming. Would y'all want to do it? And it was literally... You know, it's all divine timing. It all just kind of like falls just exactly how it's supposed to. And so my husband literally said, he was like, Tara just said that she's willing to do one. So yes, let's sign up. Let's do this. And so we signed up. Well, then come to find out another couple of friends of ours, again, they didn't know what to do with us either. And so they were like, oh, we'll do it too. And then another couple, they were like, okay, well, we'll do it. And so it ended up being the six of us. And it was incredible. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool to do. And when you do really hard things like that with other people, it grows you together in such a way. And so it actually made us really a lot closer to those friends. You know, hanging out with them at the bar, it's all surface stuff. Like, you really don't have this deep connection. But when you do hard things like a Spartan race together, it really connects you. And so it actually grew our friendship even more. And so now my husband and I are at this level where we're like, okay, what other scary thing can we do? What's another fear that we can face? Because it almost becomes an addiction to wiping away the things that stop you in life. And the print modeling, that was another one. It was like, you know, I was scared of the rejection. I was scared, you know, once somebody told me that I was too short for it, you know, you collect these two shorts in your life. You collect these things that, and most of the time, you know, the way that I like to explain it is you get these sticky notes of other people's opinions and limitations, and you have them stuck all over you. And eventually you go through this stage in your life where you're like, you know, I don't even know what I think. I don't even know how I feel. I've got all these other things stuck to me. And so one by one, you start plucking those suckers off and realizing that didn't even belong to me. That wasn't even a limitation or a thought that I even came up with in my own head. It was literally placed on me. And so then you, as you pull those off, you start discovering what you are and who you are and what, you know, what really you're capable of. And it's amazing once you get to that stage of, I'm definitely capable of more than what I've been bringing to the table. And so now we're in the addictive part of, holy cow, like, what else? Let's go jump out of a plane. No, I'm just kidding. No, my husband's a heart patient. They won't let him. But yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love that. So your snake story made me think, my husband always reminds me, he's definitely afraid of snakes as well. So he always reminds me when we were at Disney like years ago that he touched a snake, and that was like a huge accomplishment for him. He'll bring it up all the time. Like, oh yeah, remember that time we touched that snake? Like, oh, yeah, I remember, you're so brave.
Yes, he will remember it forever because he literally faced a fear. And that's, it is, it becomes a superpower for you almost. So yeah,
it really does.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing advice. And I haven't thought about that in a very long time either. I went to a Tony Robbins conference once and we did the whole walk on fire thing. And that's something that I always remember because that was like a huge fear of me. And I just remember being so incredibly anxious and like terrified in that moment in time. But even more, I remember the feeling afterward of how amazing I felt. And that's what I think of when I think of my fear now. I'm like, oh, remember how amazing it feels when you actually conquer your fears?
Absolutely.
So I need to hear that today. So that was really cool. Thank you for saying that.
Yay, good.
All right. So I lied, actually. I have one last question for you before we wrap up.
All right.
What is your favorite book?
So recently, my husband and I accomplished 75 hard. And so I read a lot during that process because you have to read 10 pages a day. My most recent that really impacted me was called Outwitting the Devil and by Napoleon Hill. And it is absolutely amazing. It just reminds you how much that just having that inner voice that really stops us from doing great things and how he is fighting for you just as much as the lighter side. And so that really impacted me because it made me realize how much that those whispers have affected my life in the past. And I don't want to let them affect me anymore. So it empowers me.
I have not read that one yet, but I've actually had it recommended to me before. So my rule is if two people recommend me the same book, I have to read it. So that's next to my
list. All right. Well, you'll have to get back with me and let me know what you think.
I definitely will. I love that you said you just finished 75 hard. I literally just finished it like 2 weeks ago. What was the hardest part for you?
To be honest with you, drinking water.
Me too. Yeah.
As simple as that is, that we did have to restart a few times. Mine was, my husband and I decided to do it together. So if one of us failed, the other one started over too. And so that was really tough because I remember one time being so mad at him because he made us have to start over again. We were like 43 days in or something.
Oh, no.
And I remember him looking at me going, you got made us start over twice early on. And I'm like, oh yeah. But it made me realize like we depend on each other so much and integrity is a big part in marriage and having the integrity to even be able to come home and admit that you failed. It made us realize that we both had integrity in our marriage and building on that was a really big deal. 75. Oh my gosh. Don't tell me. Okay, good. It didn't go away. So integrity was a big one, but water, now I realize how much water affects my energy. And so before I didn't hydrate myself enough. And now that I actually intentionally hydrate myself, I have way more energy than what I ever had before. So no energy drinks, no coffee, I don't have those midday things, which also helps me with the crash at the end of the day. So you know, I have to give Andy Frisella some major props. Like he changes your mind in 75 days and the habits that you create in those 75 days. I mean, now we just live that way. So I always have my water and, you know, we're addicted to walking now in our outdoor workout. That was a huge one too. I just love to be outside now where before I didn't spend enough time outside.
So, yeah, same. Yeah. I love our walks. It's like one of the things that I definitely cherish is, you know, just our 45 minutes uninterrupted time, you know, with the dogs, just outside chatting about things. It's definitely, 75 hours is an amazing journey. And let's definitely get together. I love that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. How can people
connect? I appreciate you. So I am on Facebook, obviously, Tara Bell, TaraBell. I'm on Instagram at TYB32 and, I think I have my HTL handle on my Instagram as well. Right now our website is under construction cause they're adding some new things to it. We just got a aerial kind of AI simulated, thing on our building. So I'm hoping that they'll be loading that up pretty soon. So it'll give people an idea of what we're coming up with.
That's so cool. And do you have an opening date yet? I know you said March.
You're saying March. So, you know, Texas and rainy season, we'll see how that goes. So I'm not attaching myself to any specific date. I'm just going with the flow. When it happens and it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, and I will cheer you on for you guys to get open in March, and we'll definitely make the drive down there too. You guys aren't too far from us.
Thank you. It was so good to meet you.